good morning. As you can tell, I have a bark. I think I scared Mark last night. I called him and said, I'm not sure what's going to happen this morning. But I said, I'm going to give him my best. And I thank God for the answering prayers that I was able to bring the message I feel God's laid in my heart. Seems like it's been a while since I've spoke here, and last time I was supposed to speak, I was asked to go to New York with the youth, and I don't know if I was missing that Sunday and the next Sunday. I don't know if they shared anything about that or not, but they gave a program at the Bowery Mission, and that was a powerful program. Jared spoke on freedom, and they interrupted him with applause. I think they connected with him pretty well. And then there was a play on a skit that was done here on bondage and how, I don't know if you remember the skit or not, but it was on the person had depression put on them and had, I'm not sure what all the bondages that were put around the person's neck. And in the play, Jordan was that person who had the bondages all on him. And Ian was playing Jesus, and whenever Ian just broke the chains of bondage on Ian, the crowd just applauded. And I thought they connected really well with them and got the message through to them. Last time I preached, I talked about the enemy that had come into the camp and stolen something very precious to us, from us. I used a story in 1 Samuel 30, where David was on a run from Saul, and he was actually living with the Philistines and actually wanted to fight for them, but he got sent home. And while he was away, the enemy came into the camp and stole their women and children, and their wives and their children, and they took them. And David and his men came back and realized that something very precious was stolen. And he had a decision to make. What's he going to do? When somebody has stolen something from you, what are you going to do? And I talked about, while we're not paying attention, or as life goes by, the devil's out trying to steal something very precious from us, our calling, our marriages, our joy, our purpose. Satan wants to steal that from us. And you wake up and you realize, wait a minute, I'm in a battle. I have an enemy. Someone don't like me. Someone wants to destroy me, is out to destroy me. And I think the first question that comes to my mind is, do I care? Do I care that someone has stolen something from me? I'm sure if someone broke into your house and stole your guns or your memories or something, you care pretty deeply. You care about it. But how about spiritually? When Satan has come into our lives and stolen something very precious to us, do we care? And that's what we'll pick up today and talk about preparing for battle. And I want to come from the perspective that maybe life has been going along pretty well. But as we reflect on that sermon and how Satan wants to come in and steal from each one of us, and we wake up one day and realize our joy is not what it was, our love for God is not what it was, and other things may be missing, and we realize I have an enemy and I'm in a battle. And you, like David, when you realize something was stolen, we say, wait a minute, there's a battle raging, and what are we going to do about it? But before we charge off into battle and fighting this enemy, I want to talk about the enemy this morning. And I'm sure he's not going to be too excited about us talking about him here this morning. And I'm not 100% certain, but I feel my cold is a direct result of preparing for this message, because this cold came on me like a ton of bricks. And I think Satan wanted to stop what was going to be said here this morning. So as we prepare for battle and assess the enemy, we just don't go charge in without realizing what we're dealing with. We had a birthday party for Bethany, 16th birthday party, and one of her school friends was there. Pretty big guy. And he wanted to pick on Dallas. He wanted to wrestle him, actually. And he kept picking on him. And after a while, the guy jumped Dallas, and, well, it wasn't long until he was on the ground. He didn't assess his battle very well. And I learned my lesson a long time ago, you don't do that, but he didn't have that experience. As Christians, I want you to realize this morning that when you became a Christian, you crossed a line. You decided you're going to choose to follow Jesus Christ. You said, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. But in doing that, you've crossed a line and you made an enemy with Satan. For years, and some more and some less than others, Satan was in control of your life. And the point where you came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I give my life to you, you became an enemy of Satan. And Satan was out to destroy you. From that point on, you crossed that line, and you have a mark on you, and Satan is your enemy. And he's relentless in pursuit of you, relentlessly. He's out to deceive you, out to destroy you, out to get you to compromise. He's a master deceiver. He's a master con artist. In Matthew 13, Jesus calls him our enemy. And there's a battle raging in our world and in our lives. And it's a battle we can't see. It's the spiritual battle that's going on, the spiritual warfare that's going on for the souls of men. And it's a battle that is very real. It's a battle that is alive today. We can't see the battle exactly as it's going on in the heavenly spiritual realms, but we can see the results in our world today. It's a battle for the souls of men. And the devil has a plan to attack us, each and every one of us. And I think for myself, I've taken it far too lightly. The devices of Satan to destroy us, they come on us so smoothly and so slowly that we don't think about it. But it's real. And I want to make us aware of that this morning and as we talk about it. I think there's three ways Satan has a hold on us, or tries to get a hold on us as people. The flesh, the world, and the devil himself. You may say they're all one, but I think there's three different ways in which we're facing the enemy that Satan tries to attack us and work in our lives. Galatians 5:17 says, the sinful nature desires that which is contrary to the spirit. And the spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. Now you all understand what it's like to be human and to have, we call that the old man. Those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus and become a Christian. The old man is called the flesh. The old desires, those desires that want to do what is not pleasing to God, what God has asked us to do. The carnal shell of us, the humanness of us, the old nature, is one of our enemies. And all of us feel that tug. And in Galatians, he talked about that, how the spirit is in conflict with the flesh, and the flesh is in conflict with the spirit. And we all experience that probably on a daily basis, the tug and pull of our old nature and what God wants us to do. And some battles are more of a struggle than others for us and for different people. But the battle's real, and it's something we need to deal with. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man. He's calling us to put off that, the old man, the old desires, and to crucify the old desires of the flesh. And they affect us all in different ways. Maybe you wake up maybe you woke up this morning and said, you know, I don't really feel like going to church. I did. But I believe that God's given me the strength this morning. I praise God for that. That's the flesh. You know, that's, you know, I don't feel like doing that. You know, I don't feel like praying today. You know, the flesh pulls in ways that are contrary to the spirit. How about jealousy? How about pride and covetousness and anger and lust? And not loving, and how about the devotional that Merle gave this morning on not caring about people, about just not caring, the pulls of the flesh, and we all face it, and it's real, and it's one of the ways Satan gets us, can get us in a trap of using our fleshly desires, our fleshly wants, and they come in conflict with the Spirit of God. And that battle is real. And as we feel that battle raging in our lives, all creation feels that. In Romans 8, 22 and 23 says, "For we know the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only then, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body." All creation, this whole world is groaning. From the fall of man, you think of all think of this earth and the tornadoes and the earthquakes and just all the flooding and the heat and the whole earth is groaning with this pull of the fall, and how it is just not what God had planned. Even Jesus groaned when Lazarus died. And the pain and the grief, Jesus groaned, just feeling that, just the ugliness of sin. So we have the pull of the flesh, on our lives as Christians. The second thing is the pull of the world. We not only fight against the old nature, but we fight against the world we live in, the system. The world system that we live in, America, we all live in America, and America has a way of living that is in contrary to walking with God. This world system is separate from God. And the world system is our enemy. It's a selfish mentality. It's a me-first mentality. It's a do-what-I-feel mentality, a do-what-I-please mentality. It's the one that has not much reverence for God. And the world that you grew up in is not the world your children are going to grow up in. And the world my grandparents grew up in is not the world I grew up in. And things are rapidly changing, very rapidly changing. The structure of the family is being challenged in great ways in our society. And so we have the pull of the world, the system that we live in, and how it's fighting against the Spirit of God. And they make it appear to be so much easier, so much smoother, a life without God, so much more fulfilling. And if we don't fight it, we get sucked in to that way of thinking, the American dream, the American way of life that is in contrary to the Spirit. Listen, as I want to read 1 John. I broke my glasses, and now I have reading glasses. I didn't get new glasses yet, so they're probably going to come on and off sometimes. 1 John 2:15-17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world or the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever." Those verses are pretty plain, pretty clear. If we love the world, the world system, the world's way of living, the world's way of doing things, the love of the Father's not in us. It's pretty plain and simple. And as I reflected on our flesh and the world system we're in, and just you ponder that for a moment or a period of time, and how it's affecting you, how it's affecting me, how it's trying to pull you in, and how Satan's devices are very subtle, but it's in direct contrary to the Scripture, to God's way. Well, the third thing is the devil himself. If it's not the flesh, the world, it's the devil himself and his deceptive ways. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." Do you know you have an enemy who is accusing you day and night? Who's after you day and night? That's pretty astounding to know that we have an enemy that wants to destroy us day and night. I want you to listen as I read what the Scripture says about the devil. And then I'm going to give you an astonishing poll at the end. It says, he sinned against God. He was cast out of heaven. He was cast into hell. He will be cast to hell. The author of the fall tempted Christ, perverted the Scriptures, opposes God's work, hinders the gospel, works lying wonders, assumes the forms of angel of light, which is in the world system. He's presumptuous. He's proud, powerful, wicked, malignant, subtle, deceptive, fierce, and cruel, cowardly, shall be condemned at the judgment. Everlasting fire is prepared for him. The sower of tares, a wolf. He's a wolf, a roaring lion, and a serpent. Those are all things Scripture calls Satan, our enemy. And now this poll, which I found unreal, and that a recent poll, Gallup poll, was taken, that 35% of Americans think Satan is not real. American Christians, that is. 35% of American Christians think Satan is not real. And you know what? I think Satan's pretty happy with that. If he can get believers to believe that Satan, that he is not real, his job's half done. You'll need to look far around you to realize Satan is real, and he's up to a lot of evil things. If you watch the news or follow the news, I remember when we got married, there's a murder in York was pretty big news. It was front page news. Today, murder in York is not front page news like it was. It seems that crimes get more and more horrific. Crimes on children. Crimes on wives. Crimes on groups of people. Rapes, kidnaps, child pornography. The devil is real, all right. And he's alive and well today in our society. We see his actions, these actions that are taken out on these kind of actions are chapter like 6-7 in the book. It's not chapter 1. And what I mean by that, these people who carry out these crimes didn't start out as a rapist or a murderer, but little by little, Satan lured them in. Chapter 1 of the book is not like the end of the book. Now, as Christians, I'm sure you heard God loves you, and God has a plan for you, and God cares about you. And that's true, and that's exciting as Christians, as believers, that God does love us, and he cares for each one of us, and he has a plan for us. But that doesn't nullify that we have an enemy, and he has a plan for us to destroy us. I think if we bury our heads in the sand and say it doesn't exist, we're going to end up at a place we don't want to be. He wants to distract you, disrupt you. He wants to do everything he can to come between you and God. He doesn't want you to rely on God. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to ruin your family. He wants to ruin your community, your town, your city. And where God's plan and Satan's plan come together and intersect, it's called spiritual warfare. And I want us this morning to realize we are in a spiritual war. And it's all around us. And to deny it is putting our heads in the sand. Before you were a Christian, it wasn't much of a struggle, was it? Kind of did what you wanted. You didn't have much opposition. But you crossed that line and became a Christian. It became tough to live for God. Not impossible, but to fight. Paul tells Timothy in says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. All through Scripture, it talks about fighting for our faith. Not you become a Christian and it's easy street. No, it's a fight. We need to fight every day to purpose in our hearts to fight. It's a spiritual war and it's worth every bit of our energy. Every bit of our energy. Every ounce of energy we have. And I guess I come back to the question I asked me originally, do I care? Do I care enough to fight? Do I believe the battle's real enough? How about the brother across the aisle that may be fighting a battle? Do I care? How about the person who rubs me the wrong way? Do I care? Do I care enough to get involved, to hold them up in prayer against the forces of evil, what's going on in the heavenlies, and defeat them in the name of Jesus? Ephesians 6:2-12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against kingdoms, against powers, against world leaders of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we're used to seeing a physical battle, a fist fight, two people duking it out. We're used to that kind of a battle, but we're not used to seeing what's going on in the spiritual world. And I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks like in the heavenly realms of Satan trying to block us, but we can see it carried out in our world and in our lives. And I believe we need to be more aware of what it is and call it what it is instead of saying that's just the way people are, that's just the way this happened, but that there's a battle going on. The battle going on for the souls of men. A few things I want us to look at about Satan. Maybe some misconceptions you've had, or maybe some just some things that we need to rivet in our mind as we think about the battle. Satan is a created being. Satan is not equal with God. Sometimes we think that, you know, Satan always was and God always was, but Satan is a created being. He wasn't always. Satan cannot make you do anything. Satan cannot make you do anything. You all have heard the expression, the devil made me do it. Satan can't make you do anything. But he can persuade you to walk a path of destruction. He can persuade you to go a path, a way of destruction. And he leads families into destruction. He leads people into destruction. And it's real. It happens to real people. It happens to people you and I know. He deceives us into believing that this is a special case and it's permissible to do it. Well, I can do it under these circumstances. He deceives us into believing God doesn't mean what he says. Remember what he said to Eve in the garden. You shall not die. He deceives us into believing that somehow under these circumstances, we deserve this. We deserve to sin after all. everyone deserves happiness. He deceives us into doing things that are not wrong in themselves, but may lead us into sin. He deceives us into believing we cannot prevail against sin, that Satan is too powerful. Satan is not deity. Satan is not like God. God is omnipotent. Means he's all-powerful. Satan is not all-powerful. The God of heaven is called God Almighty 7 times in the Bible. In Genesis 17:1 says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Job 42:2 says, tell us that the God of heavens can do all things and that no purpose of his can be thwarted. And Satan was never referred to in this way, that he is all-powerful. On the contrary, in Revelation 20, verse 2 says, Satan will be bound and cast into hell. If Satan was all-powerful, he could not be bound. Satan is not all-powerful. He is not deity. Deity is eternal. Romans 16:26 says, refers to God as the Father, the eternal God. Revelation 1:8 says, he is the one who is, who was, and is to come. God as the Father was not created. He always was. He created all things, meaning he created the angel, Satan. Satan is not eternal. Deity is omnipresent, meaning be all places at one at all times at a time. David said in Psalms 139, there's no place I can go and hide from you. God is everywhere present. Satan is not. Because in Revelation 12:7-9, it speaks that Satan was thrown out of heaven and thrown down to earth. Satan does not possess the characteristic of being all places at all times. And Satan is not omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. Job 37 says, God is perfect in knowledge. Psalms 147 says, his understanding is infinite. It is never said of that of Satan. And for an illustration, there in Matthew where the demons were cast out of those two men, and they asked Jesus a question. If Satan had known everything, they would have not asked the question that they ask. So Satan is not omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, or eternal. Satan works through temptations and deceits. And we all can identify with being tempted of Satan and the deceits of Satan. He cannot take away our free will. He cannot take away your free will to choose. And I think the most powerful one, save for last, is we do not need to fear Satan. Nowhere in Scripture does it say fear Satan. In fact, Jesus says, fear him who can destroy. He said, fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell. We do not need to fear Satan. Another place Peter recalls, he says, be sober and be vigilant, for Satan is like a roaring lion. It doesn't say be afraid. It says be sober and be vigilant. I mean, watch out. Be aware. It doesn't say fear him. And that's awesome. As Christians, we don't need to fear Satan. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's a promise as believers we need to claim and hang on to. You know, this spiritual battle is hard to comprehend because we can't see it. We can't see the battle. It's a battle raging out there. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not wrestling against flesh and blood. And anytime I'm wrestling against flesh and blood, I'm fighting the wrong battle. As Christians, we need to realize we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Ephesians 2:2 says, but against the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And just as the Spirit of God works in the believers, as us as believers, to make us more like Christ, so the spirit of disobedience works in the unbelievers. And how foolish to fight against flesh and blood, against man, when our real enemy is only using the flesh and blood. Think about that. Why fight flesh and blood when the real battle, when the enemy is merely using the flesh and blood to obstruct the Lord's work? Satan is trying to destroy churches and relationships. I think we need to be aware of the battle and who's behind the battle and not fight each other and come against it in the name of the Lord. I want to give some more practical, just some things I've learned this week as I've been studying about how the enemy works and the spiritual warfare that is going on in our world. Since we moved, we have a neighbor to next to us that are not Christians. And the other week, we were away for a vacation, and we came back, and they had took care of the garden and some things. And we were talking to them, and I don't know how in the conversation we got talking about our trip to Mexico, and some of you have heard that story, how we were going to Mexico to a doctor, and we got stranded in the desert in Arizona. And how, you know, we were there in our car, and it wouldn't run. It was overheated, and a guy came who was a Christian and had water, and we believe it could have been an angel. And we were talking with our neighbors, and I don't know how it got on a conversation. And my wife told me later that we were talking, and she was going to bring up that story about how God cared for us. And as we were talking, before she could bring that story up, we were probably there for 25 minutes talking. All of a sudden, the man, just like that, said, I got to go in the house. And he said, my allergies are kicking up. I've never seen him do that before. He's a very talkative man, but, I mean, he just is just as decisive as saying, I'm leaving. He walked out of our conversation into the house. Diane told me later she was just about ready to talk about how God had been there in that experience for us. I believe that's spiritual warfare. I believe the devil was trying to, the devil did not want that story to be told. You say what you call what you will, but I believe Satan had his hand in that. Maybe it's not the right time for us to share that story. Maybe God's preparing for another time. I believe Satan has a work in our world to hinder the gospel. This week, went to LBS to, Bethany was teaching there. I went to see her group, and they told us where she was. We drove up, and right away, as soon as we drove up to where she was, they were out doing group activities. As soon as I drove up, I knew something was wrong. Everyone was on alert. We backed in there, and within 5 minutes of us being there, I could tell something was up. And there was tension. It was very high. The leaders were, if the leaders were dogs, their ears were up in the air. And they were perked. And there was all of a sudden a group of girls just took off, left the area. I asked one of the leaders, said, there's something we can do. He said, pray. He said, there's spiritual warfare going on. So my wife and I prayed. The man that was there, we prayed. I don't know what was going on, but he said, pray. While we were praying, they loaded everyone up on the bus and took them out of there. I never did hear quite the end of the story. But he called later and thanked us for praying. He said, battles were won. That there's definitely warfare going on. What is warfare? Warfare is Satan trying to hinder God's work. And at Lancaster Bible School, there's a lot of God's work going on. And Satan was very active in stopping that and thwarting that. This week, Mark and Tim and I were together for breakfast, and we got talking about this kind of thing, and Tim shared about one of his coworkers is involved with the Bible school and how the spiritual warfare is really real, and how in working with these kids, they get to certain points and they can't go any further. It's like they face a roadblock, and they say, "What is it? What's holding you back?" And they'll mention a thing, an object in their house, like, "It's this." And he says, once they get rid of it, they'll break through, and they'll come through. One of the things that was mentioned was, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Axe deodorant and body washes. I say this just as an example, but one of the kids was up against it, and he said it's this Axe shampoo or deodorant that he had in his house. I did some research because I have some. I had some at home. I did some research, and it is specifically designed for co-ed attraction. It's very essential. The symbol has to do with the order of the serpentine. It has a lot of satanic connections to it. And I didn't know all of that. I went home and I pitched it. I'll just say this as a warning to, we may think they're inanimate objects, but the devil has control over things in our houses, things that may have been dedicated to him, I don't know. But I do know, just from that research, that the Axe brand is very satanic and very sensual. Just to be aware that there is a war going on, and it is a real war. Turn with me to Daniel. I want to give you a picture of something that I became aware of this week. I want to give you a picture. The scripture gives a peek into what happens in the spiritual realm. And I hope we can just learn something from this morning. Daniel 9. Daniel 9, verses 2 through 4. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, studied the writings of the prophet, and I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord, and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting, and I wore rough sackcloth and sprinkled myself with ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promises and unfailing love to those who love you and keep your commandments. Here Daniel is reading the word and runs across something in the word that sticks out to him, jumps out at him, and he cries out to God about what he's read. Let's move on to verse 20. I went on praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem and his holy mountain. And as I prayed, Gabriel, whom I had seen earlier in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he explained to me, Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. I am here to tell you what it was, for God loves you very much. Now listen, so you can understand the meaning of your vision. So Daniel's praying, and an angel comes and said, the moment you prayed, God heard and sent me with an answer. Let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, my hands and my knees. And the man said to me, O Daniel, greatly loved of God, listen carefully. For listen carefully to what I say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling with fear. Then he said, don't be afraid. Daniel, since the first day you began to pray, the understanding and the from the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I've come to answer your prayers. But for 21 days, the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns the time yet to come. So Daniel prayed to God about something he read, and the Lord heard his prayer and answered his prayer. But he said for 21 days, you could not get your answer, because the prince of Persia, or a demon, where he was in Persia, blocked his way. Now what does that have to do with us? How many times have you heard in Scripture that ask and it shall be given unto you? I want to read some verses that talks about calling on God. It says, Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer you. Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayer of the righteous. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeketh findeth, and to him who knocketh the door will be opened. Matthew 7:11, if you then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. John 14:13-14, I will do whatsoever you ask in my name, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. James 1:7, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. In that picture there, God gave us of the interaction with Daniel, how Daniel prayed to God. Daniel, being a righteous man, asked according to his word, according to his will. God answered his prayer. But for 21 days, Daniel didn't get an answer. And we read scriptures like I just read, how God answers our prayers and how God hears our prayers. And it's like, you know, ask and it will be given. It's like bang, bang. But we don't get answers, and we quickly give up. Is this a window into the spiritual realm, the battle in the heavenlies, of Satan trying to block our prayers? It says, for 21 days, I couldn't get through. So God sent Michael, the chief angel. They double-teamed the demon. He's with him. I came to give you the message. I believe there's a battle going on in the world of prayer. God gives us answers. God hears our prayers. But I believe there's a battle going on where Satan wants to block those answers coming to us. I believe this is just a little picture of how God, of the battle that's going on in the heavenlies, of Satan trying to block the work of God. How many times when you prayed have you gotten distracted in your mind, being wandered away into something else, or gotten sleepy? Do you think that could be Satan trying to distract you from hearing from God, hearing an answer God has for you? I believe it's very real. And I believe when that happens, we need to take courage and take heart and to call it what it is, that Satan is trying to destroy and to stop the work of God in our lives. He's trying to hinder that message coming to you. I'm going to close with an illustration of a playground bully. Many of you have gone to school. Most of you have been through school. Some of you are still in school. But you probably remember the playground bullies. those bullies that always wanted to have their way. And the first day of school, you made it home and said, I ain't gonna let this guy push me around, so you go out and buy a weight set. How many of you young guys bought weight sets? I did one time. I bought a weight set. Didn't last very long. Anyway, we're gonna get tough, we're gonna get strong, we're gonna beat this bully. Well, if you're like most young guys who buy weights, it doesn't last very long. Well, that was my case. And soon you decide it ain't worth the fight. Maybe I'll be his friend. Maybe I'll try to appease him. Try to get him to like me, then he'll quit picking on me. So we do nice things for him. Maybe we offer to carry his books or, you know, try to chum up to him on the ball team or whatever. You try to be friends with this bully. And I had to think, is that the way it is with us as Christians? Satan's a big bully on the ball field. We try to fight him, and after a while we get tired and give up. Even to the point of being his friend. I want to encourage you this morning, Christians, take heart. We're in a battle, and we must prepare every day for the battle. Be purposeful, because we've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power, and despite all the attacks of Satan down through the years, people are still coming to the Lord. Victories are still being won. Prayers are still being answered. There is hope. And just remember, Satan is a defeated angel. Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. Jesus is a victor. The battle's been won. And I love the verse, the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Brothers and sisters, we need not fear Satan. Satan is powerful, yes. We need not fear Satan. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word and your promise this morning of you are victorious over Satan, how you have conquered the grave. And Lord, you reign today supreme, ruler over all. And Lord, Satan is trying to destroy your work in our lives and many lives around the world, in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our towns and communities. And Lord, we pray for strength for the battle. And Lord, I pray for the battle in the heavenlies, the spiritual battle of trying to destroy your plan, trying to destroy lives, trying to destroy and wreak havoc in this world. Lord, we come against that in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for a fresh vision for us as we face the battle, face the enemy, that we will go forth in your name, in your power, and not our own strength. Lord, I pray for those who are here who may be struggling with just feeling overwhelmed by Satan and the attacks of Satan. Lord, I pray for strength. Lord, help us to care for each other in this battle. Lord, it's a real battle. But we thank you for your power, for your protection, and your care. In Jesus' name, amen.